Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paul Talk. My name is Alice, and I'm here with my friend Caitlin, and we're hosting Paul Talk, which is the UCC Government and Politics Society radio show of the week. We're aiming to promote political participation on campus, and we're also a politically neutral society, but today we will be giving our opinions. So they are not opinions of this society, I should note. I feel like I get really opinionated in these. So Caitlin, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Caitlin Holland, a second year government and political science student, a friend of Alice. I am a chairperson of IORSOC, the host of IDK Politics, a radio show on a Friday here at UCC 98.3 FM.
A very good radio show, might I add.
And yep, I'm just vibing. Amazing. I'm excited for our show. It's been a very political weekend.
It's a very busy week. So on campus at the moment, we're having our student union elections, and it's also the week of the referendum.
Yes.
So it's a bit of an exciting week for us. It's our first week voting in Ireland, in an Irish election.
It's our first time voting.
Yeah, we voted in last year's student election, if that counts. But, in an Irish context.
It's a national level.
Yes. At the moment, we've both actually been campaigning for different people on the running for the SU, haven't we, Caitlin?
Yes, we've been oppositions. Daunting because, can we mention who we're campaigning for?
I assume we can. Yeah. I've been campaigning for Cian Walter Enviro.
Yeah, I've been campaigning for Owen McElliott for Enviro. So we are actually the two opposite Enviro candidates.
The two people against each other. We're not even campaigning for different roles. We're both campaigning for the same role for different people.
It's very daunting. I'm out of my friend group, I am with Owen and I'm helping Owen, all good. And I look over to the other side in front of the library and you are staring
it's
back at me.
It's also such a coincidence that both their stands are right across from each other.
It's going over the enemy line. It's no man's land is the middle.
At one stage yesterday morning, it was really quiet on campus and me and three of the girls were at Cian's stand and you were at Owen's stand and there was no one there, no one on campus. So we were all just kind of standing there looking at each other. It was really funny.
Can we go over and talk to each other?
Can we cross enemy lines?
Yeah. And I went over and I was I'm so sorry. I can't stay. This is just against the mojo. No,
but it's been really exciting. There's actually, I know you love your polls. There was polls put out by UCC Express about the election, which have been really interesting. There's been they've been getting hate, apparently.
Yeah, you've mentioned this to me. Look, polling is a great indicator of what a certain population of students feel like.
Yeah.
But they don't indicate overall feelings because, we were looking at polling yesterday and UCC Express, is it UCC Express?
Yes. Yeah.
They've done great work with the polling, I think, but it's only 200. So
it's 264 people
have done it, which is
a very small sample
extremely
size.
Extremely small sample size. That's a percentage of students in university college work. We have 26,000.
Easily.
In the university, 260 is a percentage.
Yeah, and I know obviously not everyone in the university goes out and votes in the student elections, but I think in the past, the kind of numbers that you usually get for, I think for the president, which is obviously the biggest role to vote for, I think they get about 10,000 votes kind of thing. And I know the environmental reps, it's smaller, it'll be 2,000 votes.
Yeah, but it's still...
That's still the 200 is only a small percentage of those kind of numbers.
It's 10%.
Yeah, literally. And I feel as well... UCC Express, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know.
Yeah.
They advertised the poll on their Instagram for people to sign and up and do it, but I didn't see any other form of advertisement for it. Maybe they had it in their paper.
So closed.
So it's a small subsect of the population of UCC that are following them, first of all, and then who will actually go and answer it.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly, canvassing outside the bull waiting for just random people to walk by.
Which would be an interesting take to do next year.
Yeah, I think that could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be something Paul Talk or IDK Politics or even Society should do. Yeah.
No, because it would indicate, because polling is fun. Polling, people don't realize the greatness of polling.
I feel you say this you're I love polling.
I love polling. But polling is a great show for both supporters and candidates on where they fall and if they should improve or where they feel upon the student population.
And I think you have to be very careful with polling as well because, a poll could say one thing, you can't rely on it. And a lot of the time polls are done very badly. I'm not saying UCC Express is one, I think theirs is actually quite a good one.
I like the pie chart version.
Yeah, their pie charts are nice and the way they they set the question out is quite like clear. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, some polls, if they ask inherently negative questions,
yes,
or, you know, they ask overcomplicated questions, it can mess with the results of the poll and then be therefore unreliable. And results of polls also influence how people vote.
Extremely, because we study politics, we've seen how mm-hmm. polling like affects a candidate. When you see inherently negative polling upon a candidate, people are less inclined to vote for them because they're like, oh, they're just going to lose.
Yeah.
The next thing they win.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's actually really interesting. So we're having a kind of fun week this week. The elections are over today, so we'll see how it goes.
Vote by 2 p.m., guys.
Yes, it's very important. There's a lot of great candidates out there. They've been out in the rain and the sun, all weathers.
Yep, they have tackled all misfortunes and good looks to them because they are... They've had a rough time.
I don't think I could do it personally. It seems, it takes a lot out of you. Yeah, like,
no. You think two politics students would be like the first ones to go for SU.
I feel like we're the most negative about it. Like, yeah, we're like, no.
No, why?
I feel like because we're politics students, we're like, no.
Yeah.
No.
No, I love looking at elections and stuff like this, but would never do it.
Yeah, I don't think I could either.
Though it is cool for the students that want to because they're very passionate about it.
Yeah, and it's cool to be involved and see mm-hmm. them be passionate and kind of help them and like get to where they want to go.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. So yes, everyone vote by 2 p.m. today.
Today, yes.
You can go on the UCSU page and you log in. And don't forget to vote in the referenda. Also having a student referenda on 3 points, which I could not tell you.
So the first one is about, briefly discuss it just so people are aware. The first one is about... staying affiliated with like the student union, like national student union. The second one is about student health. So they want to increase the capitation fees. I don't know if I've said that word right, by €10 to increase like the doctor's hours and the nurse's hours and just increase mental health facilities and physical health facilities. And then the third one is about improving sports facilities. So they want to add another €10 to the fees.
Is it 10 or 50?
50.
I've heard a bit more than 10.
I was reading 10.
Was it 10? Oh, cool. That's fine.
Maybe I could be wrong. But yeah, I was reading 10. Now I'm second guessing
myself.
Don't worry.
We'll look it up in a minute. It's an increase in capitation.
But they haven't been that widely promoted, no, in my opinion anyway.
I have mentioned it to a few students outside our friend group mm-hmm. and they're like, what referenda?
Yeah.
And we're like, okay.
And I also, when I went to vote, I kind of had my mind made up about the second two referendums, but the first referendum, I didn't really know too much about. And on the SU's website, they had links like within the voting place, just above where you vote, like the argument for and the argument against. And when I went to press on those, it kept just bringing me to a link of how to vote. It wouldn't let me into those.
And I've heard that complaint by many people.
So it actually, I don't think I was versed enough to vote in that referendum.
So please read up before you vote.
Before you go into the website,
And do vote like mindfully.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't just press buttons.
Yeah. That's one thing actually that we've been discussing about the upcoming referendum on Friday, International Women's Day. I don't want to bore people too much about this referendum.
Because it has been everywhere.
It's everywhere. And I feel like a lot of people don't exactly know what it's about, and I don't know if I necessarily want to get into what it's about. What I do want to say is we do have the two referendums. There's the family referendum and then there's the care referendum.
Yep.
Everyone we've been talking to, everywhere I see online, the first referendum, the family referendum, people are seeming they're going to vote yes.
Yeah,
it's clear cut
polling.
Yes, but polling but like mainly discussion and public opinion. I don't have figures or anything to back it up. But basically, people are voting yes. It's basically to broaden the definition of families to be, you know, families who aren't just married parents with children. So, you know, gay couples, single parent families, unwed parents and their children, you know, which seems to be a clean cut thing. The second one, the care referendum, it has a lot of controversy.
And a lot of misinformation being spread about
it. I think I could sit here and explain that referendum for the whole hour, which I'm not going to do because
hours. You are passionate about this.
I'm passionate about it mainly because of the misinformation. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of talk online about how it's removing women from the constitution. It's taking away the protection of mothers. You know, we're going to lose, you know, child welfare benefits. You're going to lose your pension. It's money going to immigrants. We've heard it all.
And we would like to just preface, this is not our opinion.
No.
This is genuine misinformation about these issues.
misinformation. The amount of TikToks like, I have seen about this referendum is crazy.
We are politics students. We have genuinely researched referenda.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have genuinely researched what's happening, how yes. it works. We have spoken to law students. You hosted an event on the referendum.
Yes, so GovPol, we hosted the Supreme Amazing Court Justice, event. Marie Baker, along with the Electoral Commission. She's chair of the Electoral Commission. So she came and spoke about the referendum. They're basically about making sure the referendum happens fairly, like democratically, and they promote like being informed. So she was asked so many questions. It was so interesting to hear. She was basically clearing stuff up, and I was like, if the whole country could hear this, I feel like it would make the referendum so much more clear cut.
Yep. And yeah, so this isn't our opinion, this is genuine misinformation.
We're not saying that, we heard one person say this. Yep. We're hearing everybody say this. It's kind of just, there's a lot of talk online about how the referendum, the new wording, people don't seem to just not trust the government is what it is, and that the wording is too inconspicuous.
But the law is inconspicuous. The law has to be vague.
The constitution has to be vague in order to be interpreted to apply to like the whole country.
Yeah. And I think if we can convince you it's misinformation in any way, I have done genuine reading and spoken to genuine law students, and the idea that it's taking the rights away from mothers,
yeah,
doesn't work.
It's completely untrue. The new definition actually, and this is what Marie Baker said, protects them more. She was talking about the old definition, and while the old definition says mother in it, it uses the word endeavour, and she explained that this article basically says we as a state will try to make sure you can stay at home with your children given economic circumstances. She says the new definition is we're going to try harder. Neither are a promise that you can stay home with your children.
Yes.
And then the new definition just has bonds within families. So that could be if you're living, cohabiting with your sibling and you're caring for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or like if you adopt, or you know, there's many different,
there's more than one family,
there's many. It just recognizes care within the home rather than just mothers, and mothers fall under care within the home
because mothers are the historical carers of the home
completely.
But we have to realize it's 2024 and mothers are not the only ones staying home. We have everyone under the sun taking care of a family because families aren't singular defined anymore. It's a variety.
The old article was put in when Ireland did not view women.
1937. My apologies.
What's it called? De Valera.
De Valera and the Catholic Church.
Yes, exactly. It was heavily influenced by the bishops at the time.
It was written with a bishop.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
They wanted to include, reading up some of the stuff they wanted to include.
Really?
Oh my God. It's one of the articles.
Please send me this article.
One of the articles they wanted to include, which didn't actually make it in, but it was written kind of in line with this, is recognizing women's inferiority. Like
what?
Yeah.
The
wording was really interesting, but these were the kind of articles that they were writing, like women were not equal, and it was never in a way written to protect women in the home or their rights in the home. It was like written this art, obviously it didn't make it in because it would have been gotten written a long time ago. Women are obviously now recognized as equal within the constitution, but there was some crazy like proposals to be included in the constitution.
I'm in genuine shock. But I'm also like, wow, please send me this article.
I think it was RTE or Irish Ooh. Times. I'll have to
Irish
look
Times.
It up.
I love the Irish Times. But look, if people are looking for more information, please go on to the Electoral Commission because they do lay out it perfectly. They lay it out in a clear, defined manner, unbiased, and it's very informative for the people that are a bit confused.
Yeah, definitely.
And just give a quick read and please inform yourselves before Friday. Yeah.
And a lot of people as well, I just want to note, are using this referendum as a protest against the government. Mm-hmm. Protesting against the government in the constitution is probably not the best way to go about, because this is the constitution outlasts the current government.
Yes.
I mean, we have an election coming up within the next year. This current government probably still won't be what they are in this time next year. Protesting against them now just leaves long-term effects in place for the next, 20, 30 years, if they go to change it by then.
And if we say no now, this is just a thought process, you're going to have to vote again on it in the next 8 years. Like, we vote on Lisbon, we vote on Nice.
I'd say that it won't even be in 8 years, it'll be like 10 to 20.
Really?
Because I suppose Nice is a lot more
They're all impactful, EU.
They're EU, whereas these articles are merely symbolic, really. Yeah. Nothing in your life will change after March 8th. Like, nothing changes.
It's not going to be like a SWAT raid, like, removing you from your home. Like,
no.
I think people are genuinely scared of that.
And we just need to note this referendum is not linked in any way, shape or form to any child welfare benefits, any pension, any movement of money.
I would like people to have a quick read. Like, it takes 2 minutes. You just have to Google it. There's a book for secondary school students that I now possess. And it explains how policy is made and how laws are made. And nothing can be taken from the Constitution immediately.
Yeah.
So I want people to realise that your life's not going to change overnight. Mm-hmm. It might change slightly in 10 years, and it might actually give you more protections in the home.
Yeah, it might actually create
But you
more
are not
protection.
Going to lose any of your financial benefits.
No, absolutely not.
Nothing. Nothing's going to change, like, legally or politically or policy-wise for at least 5 to 6 years. If that even changes, it's merely a symbolic change.
Completely.
And people, referendums are really expensive.
Yeah, very. We could spend forever getting into why the actual government even decided to have this referendum, but I feel like we do not have the time for it.
No.
I feel like just as politics students, we've been so kind of obsessed with misinformation, and this referendum has just been such an example of it.
We had a 2-hour discussion last week on misinformation.
Oh, we did. And it's more like, I feel like I could be nearly yelling
sad,
in these conversations.
But there was 5 of us and we all discussed misinformation. Mm-hmm.
Because social media is such a dangerous place. Anyone can get on there. And I know this is easier said than done. Like, obviously, everyone says this and knows about this. But you can really get on, like, WhatsApp, Facebook, TikTok, say anything you want. Say it as if it's a fact. And people will get on there and believe you. Like,
100%.
And that's how, like, rumors and misinformation spread. Like, I feel like there should be some sort of regulation about this. It just, it boils my blood.
The government failed to implement regulations and now they're being fined by the EU over misinformation. So look, hopefully it will change.
That'll be something we need to get onto in the next few years.
Yeah, but can I just say a quick note,
of
Alice?
Of course.
Bring ID to your polling station. People don't know about this. I'm going to plug my show again, IDK Politics. I have an Instagram where I have now informed you on what to bring to your polling station.
It's very clearly laid out actually on your Instagram.
And
it's
from the
good.
Electoral Commission, so please. Because people are more likely to go on Instagram than the internet. So
yeah, that's very true.
Quick note, bring a form of ID to your polling station because people won't. Because
your polling card isn't ID.
Your polling card is not official ID. So please bring a personal ID. It can be your passport, a driver's license. I will list them on. Your student card will actually work.
Oh, really?
Yeah, your student card, as long as your picture's there and your date of birth.
Okay.
So yeah, just bring a piece of ID to your polling station and go to the polling station listed on your polling card. Mm-hmm. And you're all good. Go vote. Just tick inside the box. And nowhere else, do not write anything on your polling card because it will be thrown away. Because if you write anything on your polling card that's not a tick inside the indicated box, it's a null.
Oh, really?
Because it's vandalized.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So tick inside the box and bring ID. That's all I want to say.
I think we might put on a little song and then we can get on to maybe American politics after this.
Brilliant. What song are you going to play, Alice?
I'm going to play Metamorphosis by Infinity Song. You recommended this, actually.
I did. I think it's a great song.
Yeah. Let me work out how to play this. And then
you
we'll
click
get
it.
Right into it.
Will it work?
Be something.
Okay, and welcome back. So I think we're going to get into American politics for the moment now. It was, what was it called? Super Tuesday.
I think I annoyed the hell out of you all yesterday because I kept telling you, I was like, oh my God, Super Tuesday. And you're like, what's when Super Tuesday?
Yeah, when you were like, it's Super Tuesday. I was like, oh wow, you're really excited for the day. Like,
it's Tuesday, yay.
So happy to be alive.
No, Super Tuesday is one of the biggest days in US pre-elections for... I don't know how much you talk about US politics on your show. I do a lot of talk about US politics on my show, and I can't even vote in the US elections and I'm obsessed with it. But Super Tuesday, quick summary, to figure out who they want as their nominations, the Democrats and the Republican Party, they do these things called primaries and caucuses, where their voters, like a member of the Republican Party or a member of the Democratic Party, vote who they want to represent their party for the presidential nominations. So they're called primary caucuses, and Super Tuesday is when 15, the largest number of primary caucuses you can have, happens in one day, which That's is extremely exciting in American politics.
Usually it's like one a week, nearly. Like, I feel like
we had three at the weekend.
That is a lot,
that
too.
That is a lot. That's the biggest I've seen. But yeah, recently it's been one a week. But Super Tuesday is 15. It's like the biggest day in US elections, and it really tells who are going to be nominees. So yeah, we had 15 yesterday. That is a total of 874 delegates being given out in one day. And the total is 2,429 delegates that are given in total. So that's nearly half the delegates in one day. So it's really interesting. I don't know if you want to say anything on it, Alice, because I could ramble on.
You are hours. Way more versed in this than I am.
So you want me to take the lead?
You take the lead here. I do not know the polling numbers at all.
That's okay, because I Google them beforehand.
Yeah, so, enlighten me, educate me.
Do you want to start with the Democrats or the Republicans?
Well, I'd say we do the Republicans first. Get
The exciting one.
Yes.
We love you. Don't
want to
keep, you don't want to keep the...
Don't want the suspense.
Build up okay, too much. So... The Republicans had the most primaries or caucuses yesterday. The Democrats had like two or three. I know the Republicans had the most. So we had states like Arkansas, Alabama, Maine, Virginia, North Carolina, Massachusetts, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Colorado, Minnesota, Texas.
It's a wide variety of like different political fields there.
Alaska, Utah, and California. A very wide, all over the US, United States, from east to west to Midlands.
And very different, like, politically leaning states there.
Completely. Like, you could totally, like, see how it's going to be different in Utah than California.
Yeah, exactly.
And from, like, Texas to Alaska. And it's really interesting. In all them states I just listed, Trump won.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. But Trump won by shocking figures. Like, it's the highest caucus and primary results I've seen this whole time. He has jumped to 70%.
It's so scary, isn't it?
Yeah, in the first few, he was winning by, 60, 50, respectable numbers. But now he's on the bones of 80% of the vote.
Wow.
Nikki Haley got defeated.
So we really... And this is pessimistic to say, we know who's on the ballot.
But like, not even just from these, like, not even from the fact that Haley lost, like, Trump has now nearly enough, Trump has around, I would like to say, 900 delegates, and he needs 1,215.
So he's very close.
He will have, if he wins Iowa or Illinois, he'll have enough.
I saw that the Supreme Court overruled... The ruling to try get rid of Trump off the ballot in Colorado, was it?
Colorado,
they overruled it.
There
so
has
allowed.
Been four cases for trying to get rid of Trump on the ballot.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court have overruled them.
All of them. But yeah. Trump currently has he has more seats than a Biden-leaning Supreme Court judge. So he has control of the Supreme Court at the moment, kind of. I know it's supposed to be, separation of powers, but
is there really
not in the Americas? But the interesting thing out of all these results from Super Tuesday is Haley did win one.
Which one did she win?
Vermont. With 50.2% of the vote.
And Vermont is a very small amount of candidates.
You got this dead on earlier. It is 17 candidates.
I don't know how I knew it. I just knew.
Well, delegates. Yeah. With Trump polling 45.9 and Christie, who I'm pretty sure dropped out of race ages ago, with 1.4%.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Weren't you saying that the governor in this state, he's very anti-Trump?
Yes. So From looking at the reason why Vermont voted no to Trump is because the governor is really pro Haley. He was at the rallies. It was evident in pre-election polling that Trump was going to win.
Oh, really?
So it was a bit of a shock when Haley did pull out with the figures in the end. But we do feel like it's the governor's influence because it's a small enough state compared to California, where Trump won huge. And it's a bit more of a divisive state, even though their governor is very anti-Trump.
I suppose
he's the governor who earlier in the election season really went ham against Sanchez.
Their governor is a Democrat, isn't it?
Yes.
So I suppose, like, we're examining the Republicans in California for these rather than the, like, broad population.
There's always the people in between, though. There's these, like,
that's
people that
true.
Have the ability. And I don't, like, I could go on forever about how caucuses and, like, primaries work. But they're in some states, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, you can vote in these.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then other ones, it's confined to your party.
I wonder, I don't know the rules about in California, but I wonder why more Democrats don't come out and vote in these primaries, try influence these elections.
Like, it is 78.3% of Republicans voted for Trump in this primary in the California.
I feel and like if you are a Democrat in these, who is invested in these elections, wouldn't you want to be influencing who is picked as the Republican candidate?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting because they have 169 of the most delegates they can give out.
Which is a lot.
It was,
I compare
it
that
was
to
nearly
Vermont, that's
80% of the vote Trump got.
Wow.
Yeah. So it is, look, it's Trump for nominee.
So I suppose the Republicans in California are very pro-Trump.
Must be.
They must be.
And you'd believe, you would just kind of get the sense that California is a Democrat state. But look, that could be my biased opinion. in 3 weeks' time, we'll have 71% of the delegates given out. It's scary. As we'll know who to, like, by, like, June is when it officially is announced.
Yeah.
But, like, by the end of the month, we're going to know who's going to be the two nominees. And we know who it's going to be.
Yeah,
it's going to be Trump versus Biden.
I feel like we've known for a long time.
But
we didn't want to
say it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly an exciting thought, like, Trump versus Biden.
No.
Another face-off.
Biden did win a few of his primaries at the week yesterday. Also, he did lose Sonoma, which is a territory, not a state.
Okay.
To an opposition there, which was really interesting because, like, this, it's just that area where this man won. Like, he's not going to become the nominee, but it is interesting that they voted against Biden.
It's strange.
But at a few of his rallies, there was major, major, major protesting against Biden. Huge.
Wow.
On the issue of Gaza and Israel. But it was really shocking. People, it's been reported about the numbers that attended them rallies.
Wow.
So it will be interesting will people vote against Biden.
I don't know.
On
I feel
the current affairs issues. Or
Biden
will they feel better?
Trump election is scary because I think Trump has a major chance of winning.
Election. I'm genuinely scared to see what the outcome is.
I think if the Democrats, obviously they can't do it now, but if they had put up a different candidate, this is obviously only speculation, but a different candidate, a different Democrat could have won, again, could win against Trump.
They did try to put, there's been a few in certain states that have tried to go against Biden. And
it's hard to go against a sitting president. It's not been
working.
Done before. So,
well, I was looking at some of the past elections in the US and the last election where there has been a repeat of a US presidential matchup as Trump versus Biden was 1956.
Really?
The last time. And I can't remember my US politics. Do you remember what presidents that was?
1956? No.
But anyways, I'll find it later. But it was like, it's a very few elections have seen such a repeat.
It'll be really interesting.
And very few Americans want this.
And a lot rides on it. Both are kind of bad options, I suppose.
Honestly. And they are going to be telling of how the rest of, like, the democratic world plays out because there's so much international conflict at the moment and, like, current affairs issues and just genuinely intergovernmental issues. The US are supposed to be the powerhouse of the world.
And even, like, Trump has come out saying a lot of dangerous things about NATO and about international politics. It's just a scary thought to put him in that position of power again.
Yeah, and I would genuinely be fearful.
Yeah, it impacts Europe because we're so heavily allied and tied to America.
Like Trump has stated, the moment he gets into power, he's removing US from NATO.
Which is dangerous for NATO.
Extremely dangerous.
NATO could fall.
NATO could fall, and that has been said that EU, and that's why Ursula von der Leyen keeps stating that we're going to have to increase security as an issue inside the EU.
Almost definitely. I feel like democracy and security are issues massively on the rise at the moment.
Yeah, as it said in the New York Times polling, democracy is the fourth largest issue people are going to vote on in the next election in Ireland.
I believe it.
And it's such interesting because it's something most people wouldn't think about. So the fact that that's actually on people's minds is really telling.
I didn't think it would be. I'm actually surprised.
I was shocked, like genuinely shocked. And I went through 9 months of polling data.
Wow.
Yeah, I had great fun.
You love a poll.
I love a poll. And this, you all think I'm crazy now. But yeah.
Slightly, but that's okay.
Oh, that's fine. It's my charm. But like, I went through 9 months of polling data, and like the fact that democracy, which never showed up in that 9 months except for the last month, is really telling of how...
It'll be interesting to see how it influences in the upcoming elections.
And I'd like to remind people, democracy does not refer to the referendum, but overall democracy.
Overall as a concept.
As
a concept. I suppose we might touch on the EU just before we finish off.
Yeah, why not?
So recently, the EU has fined Apple 1.8 billion euro billion for breaching competition law 4 times. So I was reading about what laws they exactly broke.
Yeah.
And I was actually surprised. So I'll read it out. So basically, Apple has the Apple Store, and this is what the issue is all about.
Like all Apple stores?
The Apple App Store, I mean.
Oh, App
sorry.
Store, thank you.
I need to say App Store.
I'm an Android user, so this is...
So, the Apple App Store, obviously, is the hub where you download all your apps to your phone. So, they have major control here on competition. So, apparently, I didn't realise this, but music streaming developers like Spotify and other different apps like them were not allowed to inform the users inside their own apps of cheaper prices for the same subscription on the internet. And they were also not allowed to change links in their apps for the consumers to bring them to their website to pay lower prices there. I don't know exactly how Apple were able to control this, but it is crazy. It's basically like an anti-steering campaign, really. So they've been fined 1.8 billion, which the commission actually said is 4 times higher than their usual fines. But they said they did this in order to deter monopolies from impacting competition, because a smaller fine, their usual fines, would only be like a parking fine for them, whereas they want to actually impact Apple.
They want to scare off people.
I'm 99% sure on this, that I read that the 1.8 billion is 0.5% of Apple's annual profit. So it has a major impact on them. This is no small fee.
Whoa.
Yeah. Apparently Apple said they are going to file to have this re-looked at, you know, they want to bring it back to court, but the likelihood that it's going to be overturned is very low.
That is really interesting. The EU, like the European Union, has great control over competition law. They're really into like market
laws.
Having a
fair market.
That is like one of their biggest things. Like I've read and seen places like they really control like data, and the digital space seems to be a major issue within the EU at the moment.
And it's so important because the EU is all about a free, open, one market. Yeah. It's important to have it regulated.
And it's I think it's a great sign. Like,
it's a great step towards creating fair competition.
100%. And that's what we need in a market which is so overflowing with competition at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spotify came out in support of it. Obviously, they're a massive streaming service from Sweden, which I only learned the
Swedish?
Other day. They're Swedish. I never knew this.
Thank you. Another thing the Swedes give us.
Yeah. Based in Oslo, I think, is what I saw. Apple said that they came out saying it's biased kind of towards Spotify, since they basically hinted that it's because Spotify are European, based in Oslo.
I'm like,
they were kind of hinting at the fact
EU
it was biased.
Isn't going to be
but the
biased.
EU isn't, yeah, the EU can't favor one company. This is about law. This is setting a precedence.
There's a lot of laws, and I feel like Apple have been on the EU's radar because they've broken a lot of laws recently. I have seen fines coming from the EU towards Apple and other major sites like Google, Microsoft. Everyone is on EU's radar at the moment, and they're all not getting away with their bad stuff.
They've been pushing their luck, definitely. So
pushing their luck is like an understatement. They've been just trying to hide.
So it's actually very, you know, it's a piece of good news.
It is a piece of good news.
It is a piece of good
news. And I think it's a piece of good news that people don't realise the EU do for you.
Yeah. They like, the EU are out there protecting our rights as EU citizens.
But they just don't broadcast it. They only ever broadcast when they're finding people.
There is many different things you can criticise the EU about, definitely. But this is one thing we kind of have to commend them for, definitely.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, I agree with that. That they do help you, and I think their aid to us should be recognised more.
Oh, definitely. We wouldn't be in the position we are today as a country. Obviously, we do have our flaws, but I mean, economically, we are one of the most successful countries in the EU at the moment. Yeah. So,
and we came in as the poorest in 1973.
Yeah. So We've built up. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Not slowly, perfect, but surely. But we're getting there.
Yeah.
Another thing about the EU, and I was looking last night to see, was there anything, you know, we could talk about the EU this week? And I came across an article by EU News, and it said...
Love that.
And
site.
Then I looked up a few... I was like, I haven't heard about this. This is big. So I started looking it up, and a few other sites had reported on it. Apparently, the European Bank for Reconstruction did a survey for 2023 and 2024, where they surveyed EU member states and our neighbouring states, and they found that scepticism towards climate change and green transition is greater in many European member states than in neighbouring countries. And like the neighbouring countries that they mainly focused their surveys in were Tunisia, Moldova, Azerbaijan.
Whoa.
And we are more sceptical, and it particularly said Eastern Europe is far more sceptical about climate action than member states, which is really strange.
Can I clarify, is it EU Eastern European member states?
Eastern European member states.
That is really interesting.
Out of all the EU.
I don't remember, I don't know if you remember, Alice, but when we had a reading to do for one of our assignments about...
this was CEC, last semester.
Yeah. And it was on about how the Eastern European countries brought in climate change, and they were deterrent due to economic reasons.
Yeah.
But due to such EU funding to increase climate change, I would thought that would dissuade and make it more acceptable, but no.
And like the EU has been introducing a lot of green policy recently.
Yeah, a huge green policy at the moment.
I feel like they're pushing it through the door before the elections because they're afraid of the outcome.
They've been pushing a lot through the door before the elections.
This could be a conversation we could talk about for hours about the fear of the upcoming election. But
fear of the far right,
Fear of the far right. But it's just crazy to see, I suppose. Maybe we shouldn't be as surprised, because I suppose the populist movement has been building, the far right.
And climate change is always the first issue the populists go for.
Yeah, and like there's been the protests with the farmers in Brussels and all over the EU.
And with the new nature restoration law in the EU, which was pushed last Wednesday, like Irish MEPs are gone against it.
Yeah, which is
crazy. Is really interesting.
Because they haven't played into this whole populist anti-climate change movement before.
No, and it's interesting to see how it will influence the vote.
Definitely. Yeah. That's something we would have to dedicate, I feel, the whole show to. The next time we get on air here, we will have to dedicate
We'll do a two-part special. We'll start the conversation here and we'll end the conversation on Friday.
I think I can hear the voices saying, please, no, please, don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't force the debt on this. We're like, everyone needs to know, because I don't know if the listeners know, but turnout for EU elections are like the lowest you'll ever see.
Yeah.
40% of the Irish population turn out for EU elections.
Which is even very poor.
It's like 40, 45, 50 in some cases, but like the lowest.
And these EU elections have such a big impact, because EU policy, like...
Is Irish policy.
Is Irish policy.
Yep.
And like, it supersedes Irish policy. Like,
Exactly. So, supremacy of the EU law. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We'll see. I wonder, will the turnout be bigger now at this election than previous ones? Because there is such like an uproar at the moment.
But I'm scared if the turnout is larger, is it further far right?
That is very true.
Fear. Yeah. Fear the populist parties.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
I wish people would pay attention to elections more, because they're so interesting.
Yeah.
It is good reality TV.
I think the next time we get our hands on this show, that'll be what we have to discuss.
Do we have like 8 hours? Do we have 8 hours? Like, do we have a whole day?
I don't think
day?
We do, but we can, we'll
figure it out. We might do a 10-part special podcast.
I think we might leave it here for today. For anyone who didn't tune in the beginning, My name is Alice and this is Caitlin, and we are with the Government and Politics Society. This is Paul Talk, and we're here at 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Yeah. And we're really happy you listened. At the moment, I'm going to put on a song from, this is actually Caitlin's podcast. I do not have a good enough podcast.
This is the playlist that is used, but it's just very general.
Yeah, I'm going to put on Astrovan by Mount Joy because I love that song.
Amazing song.
And thank you for listening.
Angels smoking cigarettes on rooftops in fishnets in the morning with the moon still glowing. And here comes Jesus in an Astro van rolling down the strip again. He's stoned while Jerry plays. He said life ain't ever what it seems. These dreams are more than paper things. And it's alright, mama, you're afraid I'll be poor along the way, but I don't wanna see those tears again. You know Jesus drives an Astro van. Yes, he does. I said, ooh. And in my heart there's a Holy Ghost writhing on the floor from an overdose. You know the best ones never come down. Tip of my toes reaching out for the great unknown. Every addict has illusions. Life ain't ever what it seems. These dreams are more than paper things. And it's alright, mama, you're afraid I'll be poor along the way, but I don't wanna see those tears again. You know Jesus drives an Astro van. Yes, he does. He said, ooh. Smoking Jesus puts my name upon his guest list. Says, son, you're famous in heaven. Maybe you're famous.